Starting next fall, all graduating medical students in the U.S. will have to pass a brand new exam to become licensed to practice medicine. More than a decade in the making, the new test includes measurement of clinical skills and how well doctors communicate with patients. Madge Kaplan from member station WGBH in Boston checks up on how medical schools are preparing their students.
One indicator of the stepped-up emphasis on communication skills is evident here at Tufts Medical School in Boston.
I have no set agenda with these questions. Everything's just a conversation, just to find out more about what your experience has been as a patient.
It's the second week of classes, and a very polite Lewis Cohen has begun to ask his first questions ever of a real patient, Richard, a middle-aged man dealing with a rare and painful form of cancer in his thigh.
And where I'm at is I've completed all my radiation treatments, with the exception of I have two more to go.
And then you're done for the foreseeable future?
Richard's had several surgeries and been coming to the New England Medical Center in Boston for almost 2 years. With fellow first-year students at rapt attention around the same table, Lewis Cohen asks Richard what the ordeal has been like.
Do you feel as though the cancer and the treatments have impacted your life outside of the hospital?
Oh, sure. I mean, up until I got this tumor, I mean, Wollaston Beach, I would walk the whole beach, 4.5 miles round trip, and I was very active with my daughter growing up. And
over the course of the discussion, students get a crash course in many things that only a real patient, not a textbook or a lecture, might reveal. Richard's primary care doctor didn't catch the cancer at an earlier, more treatable stage. After Richard was referred to New England Medical Center, his doctor fell largely silent.
He has never even contacted me to see how I'm doing. So I'm shopping around for a new primary care doctor.
Nervous laughter takes some of the edge off this lesson in failed communication. The topic hasn't come up yet in the required course on doctor-patient relations this exercise is part of, but it will. Professor Jody Schindelheim says right from the get-go, med students learn that it's their job to find out what patients are really going through and to deal with difficult information.
In this course, we teach them how to begin to ask, you know, sort of personal, intimate, private questions. And with that, they, you know, they're sort of taken aback. There's suddenly, you know, just a whole wave of feelings, which hopefully through the course they begin to get a sense of how to contain, how to deal with, how to structure.
Dr. Schindelheim says the more he can get across the human side of being a doctor at this early stage, the better off students will be down the line, he hopes.
Before they get exposed to, you know, the differential diagnosis and all the technical stuff, and also, unfortunately, some of the culture in medicine, which, you know, still tends to beat it out of them a bit in the service of efficiency and function.
Tufts is one of a dozen medical schools pushing communication skills to the forefront of medical training. It's estimated about 75% of all U.S. med schools are gradually doing the same. Although a recent article in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests there's no uniform curriculum, that's less of an issue to some compared to concerns that students tend to forget what they've learned by the time they graduate. Dr. Michael Goldstein is with the Baer Institute for Healthcare Communication.
What happens is that they get exposed to other training components that are often in clinical settings where many of the preceptors and the residents that they're learning from haven't gotten the skills. So the skills tend to decay, if you will, and they don't get reinforced and supported.
Unless they're constantly pounded in, like at Harvard Medical School.
So you mentioned that you had, you know, you've had this breast cancer history.
Yes.
And that your mammograms have been negative the past few times.
Yes, yeah. I have done very well that way.
Third-year student Nirav Varharia is engaged in a role play with a highly trained pretend or standardized patient who thought she'd been cured of breast cancer. According to the script, a new bone scan shows otherwise. Varharia is playing the part of a resident who must deliver the bad news.
Basically, what is possible from this bone scan and what it suggests is that the cancer has come back and that it may have spread to your bones.
Oh, no.
All 200 third-year med students at Harvard must perform well on this exercise to continue on with their education. They're also less than a year away from the national licensing exam, which will put them through the paces of 10 to 12 scenarios with patients of varying backgrounds who have different health problems. All graduating students across the country will have to take the communications exam starting next fall. But the nation's Medical Student Association isn't happy about it. Already indebted medical students will have to shell out another $1,000 to take the exam, plus travel expenses to get to one of five regional testing centers. And Organized Medicine thinks the new addition to licensing lacks validity.
I think the extent to which communicators are born versus the extent to which they're made is still largely unknown to us.
Dr. Stephen Lurie is a senior editor at the Journal of the American Medical Association. Like the AMA itself, he questions whether you can actually teach students how to communicate effectively and whether any test can accurately measure this skill.
I think when you talk about something like communications or cultural sensitivity, these are really very huge constructs that could mean any number of things and that I think do mean different things to different people.
Brownell Anderson couldn't disagree more. She's with the Association of American Medical Colleges and says medical educators, including the National Board of Medical Examiners, have done exhaustive research to develop the new licensing exam. However, she does worry about something else, that some schools will rely on the national test to screen out lousy communicators rather than devote precious course time to teach the skills.
You've got an overloaded curriculum. You've got faculty who are under enormous pressure to do research and to produce dollars in patient care and do the best job they can teaching. So there may be a tendency to say, oh, well, the student hasn't really gotten this, but we don't have the time or the resources to be concerned about it. They'll catch it in the exam.
Right now, most medical schools appear to be trying to do it all, and surveys show consumers support the effort. A new five-country survey of patients' expectations of physicians points to a desire for anything but the paternalistic relationships of old, looking instead for partnerships.
I'd like to help you through it as much as I can. I'd like to answer as many of your questions as I can.
Third-year Harvard medical student Nira Vaharia. For NPR News, I'm Madge Kaplan in Boston.
Because we're going to try everything we can to make sure that this goes well for you.
There's more on this story, and you can hear a Tufts University Medical School lecture on patient communication on our website, npr.org.